Willkommen bei Moin Zukunft, dem Podcast des DUB Unternehmer Magazins. Wenn es um Rohstoffe geht, fällt früher oder später sein Name. Jim Rogers dürfte einer der bekanntesten Investoren der Welt sein. Zuckerzocker wurde er genannt, weil er auch in Soft Commodities investierte, etwa in Zucker. Gemeinsam mit George Soros hat er den Quantumfonds gegründet, umrundete zweimal die Welt, schrieb Bücher, lebt in Singapur. Umtriebig ist der inzwischen 77-Jährige noch immer. Und auf den Punkt. Auch das, was das Thema Gold angeht. Aber hören Sie selbst.
Yeah, as I said, you signed the book, Ride the Bull. I still recall that and I still have the book. Would it still be the same advice?
Well, if you, the best way to make money is to find things that you yourself know a lot about,
yeah,
and then invest.
Yeah.
So the advice is, yes, if you know about commodities or any commodity, don't ask me, just do it. Do it. If you know about a country or a currency or bond, do it.
Okay.
So the answer is yes, but only if you know what you're doing.
Yeah. And if you spotted a bull, and using your terms.
Well, at the moment, as I look around the world, I think perhaps the cheapest asset class is commodities again. Bonds are certainly in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Stocks in much of the world are making all-time highs, or at least they've been very strong. So I certainly see commodities as being cheap in the fall of 2020.
What kind of commodities? Would it be valid for all kind of commodities, so soft commodities as well as precious metals?
Well, precious metals I own. I started buying again last summer, a summer of 2019. I did not buy for many years. So yes, agriculture. I will probably buy more agricultural today.
Yeah.
Maybe even energy, you know.
Okay.
Energy, yeah, maybe all of them.
Okay. Would you buy the soft commodities via futures, or how would you implement to that?
Well, many studies have shown that the best way for most investors is to invest in the averages, in the indexes. Okay. So if you know what you're doing, buy the futures. You'll get very, very rich,
yeah,
very fast. But for most people, just buy the index.
Yeah,
that's what I will be doing. I'm lazy.
Okay. Sounds familiar to me. What about you? I think you read an interview with you saying, well, think about buying gold and silver in coins. Why that? Just on this, to be on the safe side, as security, as insurance, plus...
Well, you know, when everybody should own some gold and silver as an insurance policy, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Because you have life insurance, you have fire insurance. You hope you never need,
yeah,
your fire insurance,
yeah,
or your life insurance, but everybody should have it. So everybody should have some gold and silver. For most people, coins,
yeah,
are a good way, because first of all, if you ever need to go buy bread,
yeah,
you cannot take a block of gold or a block of silver,
yeah,
to the shop, because he doesn't know, and second, he cannot make change.
Yeah.
So you're better off having some coins. They're usually easy to verify. The block of gold is not easy to confirm. So I, in case of the emergency, I have gold and silver coins first.
What about the percentage of an average portfolio? Would it be 5%, 10%, just as a rule of thumb?
Well, again, there's no answer. If you know a lot about gold, yeah, and silver, maybe 100%,
yeah,
should be in gold and silver, because you know what you're doing. You don't know when to buy, when to sell. But if you know very little, it should just be an insurance policy.
Yeah.
So it should be small until you know more.
What about China? You always had a knack for China, the Chinese equity, the Chinese culture. I remember that your kids are learning Mandarin, as far as I remember.
Yes, my children both speak perfect Mandarin. They've been on Chinese TV,
yeah,
several times. Their Mandarin is so good. What about China? Yes, well, China is going to be the next great country in the world. whether we like it or not, you know what's happened in China mm-hmm. since we met, yeah. before we met, and since we met. Of course, there will be problems along the way. America became the most important country in the 20th century. But along the way, we had many depressions with a D. We had civil war. We had very little rule of law. I mean, America was a disaster many times, but became very successful. So China's going to have plenty of problems, but I don't see anybody else. America's the largest debtor nation in the history of the world now, and the debts are skyrocketing every week. History's pretty clear. Countries that get into that kind of situation always have problems and crises. So I don't see anybody else. I don't think it's going to be Portugal again. I see China.
You've made, among other things, made a name as an adventure biker. Would it still be making sense for young people to ride a motorcycle or a car, whatever, and try to spot the hidden gems or trends? And is it still possible to find such thing? I think we are living in a very analyzed world. Or do you still see the blind spots of the world?
We certainly are. The computer, the internet, has made much more information accessible instantly to all of us. So we all can know more faster, but it's still the internet doesn't teach us judgment. You know, 100 people can go into a room and all hear the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
But most of them will not get it right. Only 5 or 6 of them will have the judgment to know what to do. So, yeah, we all have better, faster information, but do we all have better judgment? Nope, we certainly don't. Every day you can see the world is full of people with bad judgment.
Good point.
If you do, I certainly strongly encourage people to see the world and certainly to see it from the ground up. If you drive or motorcycle, you have to learn a lot more about the world. You don't have any choice.
Yeah.
And it will teach you a lot if you keep your eyes open and your brain open.
That's perhaps a good keyword. If my daughter, being 12 years old, would say, Jim, I would like an advice. What is the one do and the one don't when it comes to investing?
The one do is to don't invest unless you know a lot about something. Most of the time, most successful investors do nothing. They wait until they find something that they know a huge amount about.
Yeah.
And then they invest. They do more work. They do more research. They already know a lot. Then when they see something changing that they know is going to work, they do a lot of research. And that's why they're successful investors. It's boring. Everybody wants a hot tip. But hot tips, the negative, whatever the don't do, is do not listen to hot tips. Yeah. Hot tips will bankrupt you. Everybody wants a hot tip. Everybody wants to get rich this week. But my advice to you is don't do it. Be boring. Yeah. Stay with what you know.
So my last question goes into that very direction. Does patience still matter?
Oh, yes. Most successful investors do nothing most of the time. I mean, unless they're short-term traders.
Yeah.
Most successful investors just wait. You know, I try to wait until I see money lying in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, all I have to do, I look over in the corner and I see money lying there. All I have to do is go over and pick it up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that doesn't happen very often. You just have to wait and wait and be patient. And when you see, oh my gosh, look at that. Look at that. That's going to be very successful. And you go and you pick up the money, put it in your pocket, and then you wait some more.
Yeah.
You wait for it to work out and go up and go up and go up, and then you'll know when to sell it too, because you know more about it than most people.
Is it hard to keep up the discipline for that kind of approach?
Of course. No, that's it. Everybody wants a hot tip.
Yeah.
I nearly every time that I have listened to somebody give me a hot tip, I've lost money. no matter how smart they were, no matter what. Of course, I have now learned, I just don't listen. No matter how exciting, no matter how wonderful and how smart the person is, I have learned it's nearly always the wrong thing to do. So I don't do it anymore.
That sounds like a very good ending phrase. Many thanks for taking the time. It's again been a pleasure. Thank you.
I hope we can do it again sometime.
Yeah,
thank you.
I would love to. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.